maybe that's what confuses us.
Well, there's the low volume rhetoric, precision, and there's the high volume rhetoric.
I'd like to call the Government Operations Committee meeting to order today, September 27th. The time is 2:12. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congressman Supernov. Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Buffalo Pitt.
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we ask that you look down upon this committee as we go about the work of the OCH people. We ask that you just help to guide us, Lord, and do what's best for the constituents that we all serve. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, move to approve the minutes from September 26, 2016, as presented.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Motion on the floor is a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCA 1686, an act to provide an appropriation to the Office of the Principal Chief of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017. In the amount of $1,810,000 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Shaw. Congressman Shaw, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't have any new updates here. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about positions, director of operations, and so forth, so I applaud the committee's efforts to try to get it right. But I share your resolve to get at least two of these pieces of appropriation legislation.
Yep. Committee, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Can the clerk fill us in on what current amendments we have on this bill right now so we get to work again on it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Elaine?
Currently, I have Amendment 1, page 3, line 123, strike $340,406 and insert $240,000 and adjust totals accordingly.
So the amendment we never voted on the amendment that we were discussing yesterday, so we can start fresh.
That's correct.
Okay, great.
And I just have to say, Elaine is a rock star because she has stepped into this role and hasn't hit a barrier or a wall or anything, and I'm super impressed because there's not many people that can sit and just walk into this role and do what we need them to do. So thank you, Elaine.
Thank you. I agree, Chairman.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I believe where we left off yesterday is we were discussing an amendment to consolidate all of the appointed staff into the chief's budget, Office of the Principal Chief's budget. We discovered that we had one outlined appointed position in a budget in the governmental operations bill. Last year, FY16, the same thing happened. This committee and Congress put the director of operation position back into the Office of the Principal Chief's budget. I'm proposing an amendment right now that will do the same. And then when we get to the governmental operations division bill, I will take that position out accordingly in that other division bill. So I have an amendment to propose. I also have a document. Can I hand these out to the table? The clerk has one that's also stamped in.
Can I get an aisle share?
I don't think I have one for everyone.
Thank you.
I wasn't, so King, the budget analyst, was the one that helped me on this. So if you'll, before I make the amendment, if you'll take a look at the grid, the column that's titled FY16, that's what we appropriated in FY16 for the Office of the Chief. And it had 9 positions in it. FY17, on the budget that we received, on 8/17 had 8 positions in it, and you can look up the salary and wages line, which is $752,176. The budget that was proposed, 8/1, had 8 positions in it, and it was proposed at $760,000. The committee substitute that we have sitting before us, there's an 8 positions in it, but we understand that there's 9 positions in the, including the director of operations would be 9 positions, with the $731,558. What my amendment does is it puts the totals back to the FY16 budget as it was appropriated. On the benefits line, where the 166,876 is, I'm looking at the last column in the amendment, we took into consideration the upward movement in the employee benefit package. It has been included in that total. The amendment, I didn't realize it was to $240,000, but I'm not going to amend that line where it is right now because I believe we have another member that wants to take care of it, so I'm not even going to touch the line that we amended in professional fees. So I'm going to go ahead and make this amendment with all of these totals to reset that back to the FY16 budget. That's what this amendment's going to do. So, I don't have the bill in front of me. Let me see. I know I have a copy of it. Does anybody have a copy of the bill?
Is it the same from yesterday?
It's the... That does not include the increase. If you'll note on that line that's in the benefits, it says $166,876. If you'll note, out to the side, there's a $20,000 with a question mark. That is the upward movement for the benefits, the current benefits as they are. I am going to include that into the total when I make my amendment.
166 or 186?
I'm going to make it be 186 when I make the amendment. I'm going to add that to it because that will include the position that we are in the benefits line. So we won't, that won't be overlooked. Okay, so I need a copy of the committee substitute bills, is it?
No, no, I have an amendment from yesterday. That one.
Right, I'm just, let me thumb through here. I possibly have a copy of the bill there. Office of Attorney General.
You looking for the committee substitute?
Yes, the committee substitute for the Office of the Chief that we're working on. Do you have that? I need the lines.
You have
that? Okay, great. Okay.
Eli.
Got one more.
Did we not change that already? That, not in this?
I think that's changed 19.5% increase. So with the increase in the additional 20, we should know.
Okay. Let me go ahead and cover this with you. Can I have this copy for right now to work off of? So let me point one more thing out to you on the indirect cost line. Currently in the committee sub, it's listed as $210,731. The budget analyst has recommended that I increase that at the 19.5%. So that the number I'm going to put there, you need to write beside it. Instead of the $221,170, I'm going to amend in $225,070. And that's just so we don't miss things that are in that administrative cost. I don't want to short those fields because I think that they're having some questions about it. So now I am getting ready to make the amendment on page 3, line 113.5, strike $731,558, insert $780,852, line 14.5, strike $156,988, insert $186,876. You probably don't have that total and need to write that in, Elaine.
Okay.
It's $186,876. Okay, line 15.5. Strike $72,944, insert $73,000. Line 16.5, strike $52,316, insert $52,290. Line 18, strike $22,953, insert $23,600. Line 119, strike $6,322, insert $6,500. Line 20, strike $37,591, insert $31,090. This is one you'll probably have to make a note of too, that's different than what I handed you. It's line 121, indirect cost, strike $210,731. Insert $225,070. I'm not going to touch the professional fees line, and I'm going down to line 126.5. Strike $9,726. Insert $10,000. Line 128. Strike $36,958, insert $3,300, and adjust totals accordingly. That's my motion for an amendment.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Craig, you seconds. Discussion? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. The nine positions that you have listed under the amendment, is that with the Director of Operations back into that budget?
Yes, it is.
So is that his budget we have, or their budget?
I have I'm going to make an adjustment when we get to the Governmental Operations Division bill. I will adjust that position.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
I have discussion. Would the sponsor of these amendments consider during the interim of maybe creating a law? While it's my personal preference that all of these positions that are appointees be in the office of the principal chief, clearly there's no law that they are under to do that, to stick them all in within the office of the principal chief budget. So when I had talked earlier, I think I said it in the back, and I don't know if you were there, my preference moving forward, instead of making amendments like we did last year and like we're doing this year, and if we don't get a law in place, chances are we're going to be back here next year doing the same thing and the year after that. So my preference is I hope to see a law that specifically states this out, that any appointee that answers directly to the chief of the Osage Nation has to be within the budget of office of the principal chief. Now, of course, they're going to say that's unconstitutional, and then I say, okay, well then let's go to court on that, and the court can decide. And when I said that is, you know, my reason for voting against some of these amendments, that is what I would like to do. I'm just one member, but I would like to see a law in place, and the courts can determine whether it's constitutional or not, because clearly they're going to oppose it, they being the executive branch. But instead of every year making an amendment to do all this, that's what I would like to see. So,
Congresswoman Bethelhead, if I can respond, I agree with you. I think that that's the way to go. And I think right now, before us, this session, we have a law that's quite possibly going to do what you just requested. And it's about executive appointees. I think that we need to review it carefully. And if that language isn't in there, we need to insert the language into that bill that we have before us right now. So that's already in the works. And my next response to you is about the court finding it constitutional or not constitutional. In this session, I do have a constitutional amendment if the people so chose to amend our constitution, that would give us more authority by our founding document to give us that authority to write better legislation to cover budgetary law, because that's what we do. And I believe that in some of their opinions, when they say, you know, if it's absent in the Constitution, then it must be unconstitutional. So that's why I have that constitutional amendment in. I think especially the people listening to us go over and over this stuff this session, the ones that listen in, would think that it would be a good idea for us to have that language in a constitution to be able to pass appropriate laws so we can have good budgeting law, so we can be responsible and held accountable for what we do here at the table. But in the absence of really good language in our constitution, you're right, we're going to run over there and they're going to say it's unconstitutional or not or what with that absence. So I think both of those points that you addressed to me are already in this session.
Okay. Any other discussion?
We'll do a roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead.
Yes. Congressman Walker.
Is this the committee substitute that you were working on?
That's the one I was working on. I'm hoping it's the correct one. It says committee substitute, yes.
Did you reference 123 and a half, 120, whenever you made your poster?
I was real creative. I used halves, and sometimes I did, and if it looked like it wasn't really a half, I didn't use it. I didn't amend that line.
So you wouldn't have referenced it?
I wouldn't have referenced the professional fees line. I don't know if Congressman Supernaw referenced it with his amendment.
I have a question for the clerk.
What's up, 123 and a half?
At 123. Okay, line 123 and a half, professional fees. I make a motion to amend from
motion on the floor, is there a second?
Second.
Second for discussion. I'm going to be supporting this. So I will be voting yes for it based off of the information that I had received from Jason's on our lobbyist in D.C. and our lobbyist in at the state level. And also in addition to, it is an election year and we don't know who's going to be in the White House, and we may need stronger lobbyists in D.C. just based on that. So, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm curious, because I've reviewed that. There's on your paper, there's some work that I did this morning on that. But I'm curious to know, you said based on information you received from the chief of staff, do we have that information?
It was verbal. I didn't get anything out on paper.
You didn't get anything on paper. Well,
but I do know that it's an election year in D.C., and I know that if a Republican gets in office, we're going to need lobbyists.
If I may.
Go ahead.
If you look at your paper that I presented to you, in FY16, we appropriated $352,500 to the professional fees line. Now, the current budgets for the Office of the Chief right now combined, which is the IDC budget and the tribal budget with some self-governance funds in, so there's two budgets that we work off of, combined it. And to date, right now, what they have in that line is $299,276, a shift of $53,224 out of their professional fees line. What line that went into, I would take a lot more research than what I had time to do this morning. So they've already, we appropriated $352,500 last year. They've already shifted the money out of that line. If you'll look at your paper, we took a mean of a three-month total of what they pull out of that line, which is about $25,627, which it's a mean total. It's not, it's not accurate. Right now they have $60,060 remaining in that budget for how many days? I mean, we're about at the end of the fiscal year. So I don't know that we need to, I don't know that I can support going all the way up to $340,000 back to that, because if they had enough money to shift out of that line, why would we want to reappropriate that much money to that line? Our congressional budget has $289,000 in that line. I would want to go there, I would want to go up the way to 330, so I would support it or I'd amend it.
Keeping in mind, and I want the movement of the amendment to also keep in mind, we did hear from the assistant principal chief and the chief of staff on the record in the last meeting, they could live at 325. They both said that.
Motion to amend to 325?
And that's under 330, which you just said you could support.
No, I said I could support 289, which is what the congressional professional fees line is.
We don't also pay lobbyists either. We don't. Our branch doesn't do that. Now, if our branch did that, then I would say move them all back down to 289. They can live with what we're living with. But they do take care of some more things that we don't take care of. So
I'm sure of that, yes.
I would support 325. Congressman Walker, then Assistant Principal Chief, then is there anyone else? Okay.
I make a motion to amend my previous amendment from 340. How about I just withdraw and reinsert line 123.5, strike 240,000 and insert 325,000.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. There's discussion. Assistant Principal Chief?
I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay. Roll call.
Congressman Supernov?
Yeah.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Yes. Motion passes. Congresswoman Whitmore?
I move to pass out bill number ONCA 1686, committee substitute as amended with no recommendation to Congress.
Congress, is there a second?
I'll second it.
There's a motion on the floor with a second. Discussion. Congressman Walker and then Congressman Shaw.
Well, I make a motion to amend the motion to, from no recommendation to pass. We've done a lot of work on it and to send it out with no recommendation. I rarely support sending out with no recommendation, at least not until the committee's voted on either to send it out with a do pass or do not pass. We've reduced it. We've done a lot of work to it.
I will call on Congressman Shaw. I will agree with, yeah, he.
Okay, I was thinking there was a second.
Oh, no, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so there is a.
No, I didn't second.
The amendment.
Is there a second? Okay, there's second for discussion. I will agree with you. The amendments came from one of our committee members. Cuts were made. If you can't support a piece of legislation that we've, you know, done so much work on, I have a hard time with that as well. I mean, this is not, I'm sure, a document that everyone is just at the table is oohing and aahing over, but to me, there's been a lot of work put into it, so to not send it out with any recommendation is, don't understand that. Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I you know, we passed at least one other budget out. There may have been others that got that I didn't take note of at the time that was passed out with no recommendation. And I've tried to determine you know, what was behind that sentiment, and I've heard a lot of dissatisfaction and indignation about our not receiving our support documentation that we have a right to. But nonetheless, we've all voted to endorse and we participated in a process to arrive at a budget or appropriation bill that we felt like we could live with. A lot of time and effort. Really, I guess it's that we did the best way we knew how with what we had. I don't think it denigrates our process enough to give it no endorsement whatsoever from a committee. I mean, if you truly don't have any confidence in it, I'm curious why you even worked on it at all. Didn't just try to push that from the very beginning or don't pass. But I understand philosophically someone may not want to give endorsement to a bill with a due pass because they just really was not satisfied with the process and with the information they were given to perform the usual process. But I just think that's too far. I think a due pass recommendation is the correct move, and so I would urge you to vote for that.
We're going to vote. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I agree with the chairwoman. We have done a lot of work on this. I've been working on
You've
it.
You've done the most work.
I've done a work previous month before, and I'm here every day. I've been to every meeting. I come to work early, and I work on this. And the product that we're sending out, I think that we've worked as hard as we can on it, under the circumstances on it. But to me, when you recommend passing a piece of legislation, it means that you know what you're recommending to pass. And I really don't. I don't think it denigrates our process, because I know how hard I've worked on this. And I think it makes a statement that we're passing out a bill that I don't recommend for anybody to have to work under these circumstances. or do their job for the Osage people in the fashion that we've had to do. And, you know, when you, outside of legislation, when you recommend something, it's because you know it to be superior, the best. If I recommend to you a doctor, it's because I know that that doctor is a good doctor. That's been my experience with him. Not that he's just done the best that he could. So, to me, when I vote to pass out a do pass recommendation, you know, I'll vote no for it, but that's fine.
I would agree with some of that. Some of it I won't agree with. I remember same-sex marriage bill. It went out with no recommendation, and that there's nothing wrong with that bill in terms of how it was written, and it was a good piece of legislation. And I remember a table of five people who said, no, we won't put our name on that to send it out with a due pass so I'm going to agree with a little bit of what you said, but not all of it. It just seems to be when it serves someone the right way, then they send it out.
I take objection to that, Congresswoman Buffalohead. That's not even a good correlation.
It is.
No,
it is.
Isn't.
Call for the, we're going to roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Do you have something, Congresswoman?
I'd like to hear the question again.
Yes.
To report.
It's a motion to amend.
Oh, motion to amend.
From no recommendation.
No recommendation to a due pass.
Correct.
Passing
the committee
recommendation.
With recommendation.
I made the motion to pass it out with no recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to amend that motion to a due pass recommendation from the committee.
So we're voting
from
on the
amendment to a due pass recommendation.
Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Supernov?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Yes. Motion fails. So now we're voting on the amendment.
So to
in
pass
a true
it out.
Fashion, yes, we are spending 15 minutes deciding how we're going to send this out. So let's call. We'll go with the vote.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead.
No. Motion passes. Bill number ONCA 1686 is now out of this committee and is going to a 4-4-0 vote. Next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCA. ONCA 1691, an act to provide an appropriation to the Executive Administration Division of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017 in the amount of $14,170,000 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Shaw. You have the floor, sir.
I believe this is also executive administration, right? I believe this is also a revisitation. I believe it's a committee substitute adopted the previous committee meeting. I think there's still quite a bit of work to do on it, so I don't have any new developments to add, Madam Chairman.
Committee? If no one has anything, let's move it out. Congressman Superdahl and Congressman Walker.
Well, no, I was just want some clarification. What's your recommendation?
Okay. Well, let me just take you briefly through. I know you've heard it ad nauseum from me, but what we got to the committee said when each of the division budgets, including the executive administration, was use the budget submitted to us July 15th. We've had other budgets submitted to us, including most recently is 9-1 for the major appropriation budgets. And to be able to get a standardized approach and a budget to work from, we chose to go back to July the 15th. And this is actually voted on in Congress. That took out the gaming surveillance costs and redistribution of those expenses into the executive budget. And also backed out the and fringe for budget modification and base 1.5% base pay adjustments and the merit market analysis. And so the amounts were backed out. So that's what our starting point is with these committee setups, including the one you have in front of you. Now, individual amounts like positions or special initiatives within that budget, those have not been accounted for. So if the committee wants to work on those, they certainly can. But, you know, as I look at the amendments that have been made, both going up and down, you know, sometimes you got to wonder what your outcome is of your process. Process was good, it was solid, it was what we're used to. But sometimes if you look at the movement of the numbers, there's very little movement. So sometimes that's why I say outcomes. You know, what have we really adjusted? We felt better because we indulged our process, but perhaps we moved the big pieces very little. So I think it's good legislation. I think that you wouldn't be wrong if you wanted to move it forward as is. But I yield to the committee's right to make the adjustments further as they see fit, either in or out.
Congressman Auger.
Did you just tell I was about to do something? You called on me.
Yeah, I called on you before. After a cookie. Because you had your hand up.
Oh.
Go in the order that I see hands go up.
Oh, you're right.
It was Cuggy and then you, and then Cuggy asked Dr. Shaw a question and he answered, and now it's your turn.
I'll wait. I'm going to propose an amendment, I think.
Congresswoman Supernaw? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I'd like to ask our clerk again where we are on amendments on this bill, if you can please inform us so we'll know, because I have some notes on my paper and I don't know where I'm at completely.
Currently, the only amendment that I have is amendment number 1, page 3, line 133, strike entities and insert programs, departments, and budgets.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. This is the old bill. This is the committee separate. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, I'm going to borrow it for a second.
Right, they didn't receive that one, but that one.
Wasn't it $227,000?
Was it? I just saw this.
I believe it was $227,000. So. Okay. Give me just a minute. I need to do some math. Or as Congressman Shaw puts it, sometimes some arithmetic.
So are you looking at the committee setup?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready for that.
Congressman Walker.
I can read it down. We have adopted the committee substitute, haven't we?
Yes.
Okay, line 107.5, strike 1,016,737. And insert 1,143,000. Some of my colleagues like to say, if I get a second, I'll tell you why.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Here it is.
Discussion.
Okay, so. In the original bill that was filed, Federal was $1,370,000. In the committee substitute, Federal had been reduced to $1,016,737,000. So we've already been through this discussion, so I'm not going to go too far down it. But I will agree that we don't have any support document to show the increase in Federal revenue from the $1,016,000 to the $1,370,000. So I've reinserted the federal funds. I think we should take them at their word that if they've identified additional federal funds, I don't think that we should consider not appropriating it. And I've reduced the amount by $227,000 from the $1,370,000 because of the grant we didn't receive. And that is how I came up with the $1,143,000. And this is unprecedented to the way that we've applied the reductions by percentage back into the bill and all of these committee substitutes. So I'm going to put something like, and apply the amount back into the expense line items in a proportional way that they were applied to the committee substitute.
Is that part of your motion?
Yeah, it's going to have to be. If not, because I can't say and adjust totals accordingly. These numbers were all put in there by percentage. If $5.6 million represented 42% of the total, then whatever the reduction was, 42% of the reduction was taken out of salaries and wages. That's the way it was described to me by the by Congressman Shaw and the budget analyst.
Any more discussion?
On what? What are we discussing right now? He's made an amendment, and now that he's added more to it after he's got a second.
Okay, well then so be it. Then I'll.
No, I'm just curious what
no,
we're
you're,
learning.
No,
on.
You're right.
The First Amendment. He would have to make a second amendment.
I'll withdraw and reinsert the same totals, but put in a proportional share to.
Well, he's
how the reduction. Was incorporated into the committee substitute.
While he's fashioning that amendment, I just like to. I believe that on the floor today we had an amendment where program income, third party income projection, tried to get amended back into one of the division bills on the floor today, and I believe Congress. As a vote, as a whole, rejected us doing that to these bills. I think that we decided to go back to reset back to a day that the budgets were originally submitted. And I think the reason possibly we decided that is because somehow there were some newfound tribal funds that got distributed in there, and then they decided to round the totals. And just a whole bunch of things went on between the first submission and the committee substitutes we see sitting before us. I'm going to be opposed to that because I believe that the appropriation process should garner more respect than what we have received from the executive branch this session. This body hardly ever says no, especially when it comes to federal funds, but I disagree with their philosophy that we authorize federal funds by appropriation with no information. The usual and customary practice has been that the executive departments and entities and programs come in and they tell us about what they do. The OSH people like to hear that. They tell us about what grants they have and how they serve the people. So for me just to look at numbers and say, yeah, I think this is the best thing to do for the people, not knowing really what it does, I can't support that. I can't support that.
Congressman Walker.
Well, two things. The vote that you referenced was a 6-6 tie. And that was $600,000 that we identified in the adjusted projected revenue report. I didn't understand the no votes there. And if you're gonna say that about the additional revenue, then I guess you're okay with passing out $1 million, but not $1,300,000 with no backup or support documentation.
I'm not okay with any of it. That's why I pass these out with no recommendation. I'm not okay with any of it, and I can't even pretend that
I am. Based on that, then you're gonna vote no on all the bills on the floor.
I'm considering that.
Okay. I have nothing else to discuss.
Congressman, I do agree. It was a 6-6 vote. I mean, to say that most of Congress is not an accurate statement by any stretch of the imagination. It was tied, and the assistant principal chief just wasn't here to break that tie. We were very divided. Congressman Shaw?
You know, in the previous division budget, this committee diligently worked with the sponsor of that of amendments to make adjustments that she felt were indicated based on the positions and on the input. A little more refined information we've received from the executive branch on this division. And I see my colleague, Congressman Walker, doing the same thing. It's just not a position. It's federal funds. He's trying to make the same adjustment. I don't think that confounds the process by going back to July the 15th. I see it just another opportunity, another move to try to restore some integrity, because we all talk about unintended consequences. Well, there were a few that were notable when we went back to July 15th. For example, the $622,000, that was an unintended consequence. And there are probably some we don't know about, but we are trying to respond to the ones that we do know about that are sizable, and this is simply one of those attempts. So I think it's very reasonable, and it's federal funds. I don't think it breaks down our process. So I love and support it.
Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
No. Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Supernov?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
No. It passes.
Oh, it passes.
It fell.
Did it?
3-3.
Tied, didn't it?
Legislation today, so that would be on page. Let me look and see. I never looked at the whole bills in total. Did we place the severability clause after section 6 and all of the division bills today? Did anybody look at a bill in whole to see exactly where that was placed?
I found it initially, yes, but then she amended it to have it at the very end. I could be wrong. It's kind of a blur at this point.
So before the alternate effective date, then, you think would be the best place? I don't know, mm-hmm. Really. Before the alternate effective date, okay. Line 62.
162.
Excuse me. Page 4, line 162, insert section 8, severability clause. If any provision of this act or the application of such provision to any person, firm, association, corporation, or circumstance is found to be unenforceable by a court of competent jurisdiction, such provision shall be of no force or effect, but the remainder of this act shall continue in full force and effect. And the language is right.
Motion on the floor, is there a second?
Sorry.
Motion on the floor, the second, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Motion carries.
And then I have a question for the committee. Some of our bills had the language in that, the original language about authorizing the current positions. Some of them didn't. Does this committee, I will attempt to amend that in, if this committee would support that. I'd kind of like to know before we spend the time on it.
I will support, and
I doubt RJ will.
And it looks like the committee is made up of a tie, because I think consistently Tillman, Whitehorn, Supernaw voted for, Norris, or Buffalo voted against. So I don't, I mean, it just, I think we would just tie. And so it probably needs to go to the floor for all of Congress to vote on.
I think I'll try it in committee and see. I just,
okay.
It's so much faster here than it does out there.
Okay, thank you, Marshall.
Get the language back. I'm not exactly sure where she inserted that either. Okay, Elaine, are you ready to catch this one?
Yes, ma'am.
Page 2, line 53, insert section 5, congressional authorization. The Osage Nation Congress authorizes the expenditure of salaries / wages and benefits to pay current compensation of all existing employees as of the effective date of this act. The language is right there.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Yes.
That's all I hear about.
Oh. Assistant Principal Chief.
He's getting away.
I can tell you're sitting on pins and needles.
Peggy's love is boundless.
That needs to be on a t-shirt.
I'd like one. I don't wear t-shirts.
Go ahead.
The reason we objected to this, I believe it's unconstitutional, is because the Supreme Court made clear in their ruling on the single subject rule that no substantive language could be placed in an appropriation bill. They explained in detail why. And the fact that Congress has to put a severability clause in an appropriation, which the Supreme Court clearly said should only have numbers in it, is just a big red flag saying, we didn't do what you told us to do, so when you tell us not to do it again, the rest of this budget will stand. The fact that it's a wage freeze, again, is just, which is what the last one that Congress lost on, is just, I don't want to use icing on the cake, insult to injury, I'll pick one. It's just, Cuggy likes me to be mystified. I'm mystified again, Cuggy. This is not a newly plowed ground here. This is exactly the same ground that was plowed in the spring. So back we go. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Roll call, please.
I'd like to talk.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, then Congressman Supernaw.
I'm not seeing that this is a wage freeze.
You have anything further? You want to give the floor to Congressman Supernaw?
They're being paid, it says they're paying their current compensation. We've put money into another appropriation bill to allow for the base pay adjustments for all employees of the nation of all branches. This is, we're authorized. authorizing the expenditure of salary and wages and benefits to pay current compensation of all existing employees. It doesn't say that, it's not a wage freeze.
Congressman Cipro.
I'm going to vote against this because I wanted to hear what the assistant chief had said. It mystified me further before I vote against it.
Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Supernaw.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
No. Okay. Congressman Walker.
1691. Motion to report out ONCA 1691 as a committee substitute to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second.
I'm going to mention the stamped in time. Do I need to do that? No?
Okay, is that 9:40 a.m.?
Yeah, stamped in on September 22nd at 9:40 a.m.
There is a motion on the floor with a second. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congressman Norris.
Yeah.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yep.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Yes. Okay, we are moving on to bill number ONCA 1696, an act to provide an appropriation to the Government Operations Division of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017 in the amount of $7,180,000 and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Shaw is the sponsor. You have the floor, sir.
Well, this is, these budgets that were on that are on your agenda today, and I'm careful, they combined, they are a substantial part of our private appropriations for this year, total appropriations. And I believe you did adopt the committee substitute.
Yes, we did.
I thought that you had this, so I'd like to request a recess to get those copies.
Everyone has copies.
Oh, they have copies.
You gave them to me yesterday.
Oh, they have copies. Okay, all right. Well, what this committee substitute has that you have in front of you then, that you have not adopted yet, is again the same approach. July 15th budgets, which resulted in some downward adjustments. They were distributed and allocated to line items depending on their percentage contribution, or as the budget analyst says, as a function of the total, not preferentially.
Congressman, I have a committee substitute for 1696, one stamped in on September 22nd and one stamped in on September 26th.
Okay.
Does anyone else have that?
I have the 26th.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to dig through that rat's nest.
I don't have the 22nd.
So which one are you working off of?
26th, I thought, but okay. I'm confused as well. We have a recess. We